I'm Brian.
I'm Griff.
And welcome back to the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly audio magazine packed with the information and inspiration you can use to start, run, and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. That would be eBay, of course. And this is episode 186. Welcome back to the desk, Brian.
Glad to be here, Griff, and glad to be flipping through the pages of that audio magazine.
I think it's no secret that we do keep, as professionals, some talking points in front of us so we know what we're talking about.
Yes.
Rumor tells me you were here till 7 o'clock last night.
Well,
why are you here till 7?
I just had some things I had to get done, or felt I had to get done.
Well, good for you.
And I'm glad I got them done. And truth be told, Nancy was out with some girlfriends at a show. So, like, there was, like,
no reason to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for Riley the dog.
You could bring Riley into work.
Oh, you know what? I probably could.
Yeah, there's still hardly anyone in the building.
I wonder what the rules are there.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember that there was talk about having a bring your pet to work day. And I'm an avid pet lover. I always have dogs. I would never do that to anyone because there may be employees scared to death of dogs.
I'll have to think about it. Riley's a relatively friendly dog, but he does have a bark.
That could be distracting here in the studio.
Yeah.
It's bad enough when I'm recording at home and they start barking.
Maybe we should ask our listeners, you know, would you like to have Riley in the studio in 2 weeks?
Or Sadie and Charles, my dogs? Let us know. Maybe they prefer to hear from the dogs.
That's true.
Well, there you go.
Rough.
Don't rough the news this week, Brian, but what is the news?
Well, Jordan's post to Seller News this week was titled April Look Ahead. Mm-hmm. And I think most of our listeners have probably seen Jordan's Look Ahead posts in the past. They're very, very informative. Definitely take a look at the one he put up this week. And he was covering what we see as clear business trends for the coming months.
There's three categories he talks about. I just got through reading it. Automotive, refurbished, and fashion.
That's right. It's interesting, like all of those, like the parts and accessories piece of automotive and refurbished. Fashion, you can even think of like lightly used or used goods. You sell shirts that have been used. All of those kind of play into the direction the economy's been going too.
Yeah, a lot of people going back to the office, either full-time, part-time, hybrid work. And it's been 2 years plus since they've refreshed their office wardrobe.
Yes.
So they're looking online to buy some stuff.
And some of the other ones might have to start driving in their cars a little bit more to commute to work. And therefore, they might need tires or brake pads or air filters or all that kind of stuff. Or even a new car.
Yeah, even a new car. And the parts and accessories category worldwide, they've been impacted by the supply chain.
That's right.
There are issues still going on. Lots of sellers who have access to this inventory at their location in the United States, they're able to offer it to buyers who can't get it from their dealers, for example. So these are all important points.
So if you've got some parts hanging around your garage, you may want to actually list them. I know I have some parts that I've kind of hung on to that maybe I just should list them.
This is that 1954 Jag, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think I also have some stuff because I sold a 79 Camaro. I think there's some like air filter parts and things like that for that car too. I need to go check the garage and put those up.
You need to sell those on eBay so we could talk about the experience.
Yes, I will.
All right, good.
I sold some brake pads once, but that was years ago. They were for an Acura.
No, we're talking about now, not years ago. Yeah, speaking of all those shirts, I have tons of shirts that I got to get listed.
Yeah, I have my death pile of shirts. I have 20 plus eBay shirts that I pulled out of drawers.
20?
20.
You think that's a death pile?
It's my death pile. I know I'm going to get photographs sent to me from some of the sellers I know who have like got like half a garage full of is their death pile.
Hello, me. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Anyway, we really urge you to read this post. Jordan's posts from the business angle are really important, I think, and all sellers should be paying attention to them. And this April look ahead was a really good one. You can see it at ebay.com/announcements.
And maybe take a glance back at some of the other ones Jordan has looked at. On the right side, I think, of the announcements, you can sort by executive posts.
Yeah.
And it'll only pull up then the ones that Jordan has done.
Absolutely. Any other news, maybe?
Well, maybe a little tease? One more little bit of news. If you're listening to this on the day we drop, which is Tuesday, April 12th, keep an eye out tomorrow, Wednesday, April 13th, for our next seller update with news about enhancements to payments and best offer, payout options, and other product enhancements. As always, the details will be posted on the seller news board at www.ebay.com/announcements. Check it out.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
And I think you can just do seller news.
Just seller news?
ebay.com/seller news.
But however you get there, once you're there, it's
community.
Just click on announcements if you go to community and Remember tomorrow, if you're listening today on the day that the podcast went live, that you now know before everyone else because you're a listener. There's going to be a seller update tomorrow.
And then come join us on Wednesday the 13th. And if you have any questions about the announcement, we've got discussion boards there with key folks from the company who can answer your questions.
Talk about answering your questions. Now it's time for us to go to the source. We're going to actually speak to our in-house resident because we got a question.
So let's ask Tyler.
Sometimes we receive a question and we need an actual, real, genuine expert to help answer it. We're so lucky to have access to just such a genuine expert. Welcome back, Tyler.
Well, thank you. A genuine expert. I think I need to get that added to my title.
Yeah, you have it on a badge. Genuine expert. So we got a lot of questions last week and I sorted through them and I found one that I thought, what else can we do but ask Tyler? I'm going to read this email from eBay seller Todd H. It's short to the point. I would like to remove any and all minimum offers on listings where I have best offer. Is there a fast and easy way to accomplish this? Oh. Thanks. That's the question.
No, that was short and to the point.
So is there a way to accomplish this task, Tyler?
Yes, there is. You can remove minimum offer settings, which are also known as auto decline amounts for best offers, using the bulk edit tool. In fact, you can also remove best offers completely or add or subtract or change the dollar amounts for auto accept and auto decline amounts for a batch of listings with best offers, and all by using bulk edit.
Yeah, you know, I suspected that bulk edit was going to be part of the answer, but I'm still not quite sure how.
It's actually pretty easy, and I know that I say that every week, but this one actually is pretty easy. First, I should mention that you can bulk edit up to 750 listings at a time via Seller Hub, and up to 200 via the All Selling page. So if you have 750 or less active listings and you want to remove something like Best Offer, you can revise them all in one single batch with Seller Hub.
Okay, well, what happens if I have more than... I don't, believe me. But what happens if I had more than 750 active listings and I wanted to bulk edit them all?
This one is also actually pretty easy. If you have more than 750, you'll have to edit the rest in separate batches. Mm. But we group those automatically for you from the edit dropdown. So you can edit kind of with one click, select, you know, 750, and then you can, from that dropdown, choose 750 and 1 through 1500, so on and so forth.
I thought this could get a little confusing trying to remember which ones I already edited, but apparently not.
It could be a little confusing. If you have more than 750, consider using them, editing them in multiple batches via Seller Hub. But if you are using the All Selling page, it's really a lot easier to do that in groups of 200.
Okay, so why 200?
Because that's the maximum listings you can display on a single page in the active listings view.
Oh, okay. And?
And if you edit one page at a time, you can then keep track of each page by page number at the very bottom. So you can avoid re-editing listings you already edited, because no one needs that.
I think I get it now. Walk us through the steps, would you?
First, you'd go to Seller Hub and then click on the Listings tab, then choose Active from the drop-down menu.
By the way, I'm following along, so I'm actually doing this.
Oh, well, you tell me to slow down. I'm pretty quick on the clicky finger.
So.
Okay. On that page, click the edit link just above your first active listing, and it should have another drop-down. It will give you the options. So if you have 750 or less listings, you can just select edit all X listings, where X is the number of your listings, up to 750.
Okay, I've done that. And I suppose, like you said, if you have more than 750 listings, then use the edit listings from 1 to 700 in the dropdown to work on that first grouping. And if you're using all selling, and I can't imagine people are still using all selling, but I guess they are, use the 200 page method.
Exactly. Once you select the number, the selected listings will be imported into the bulk edit tool. Check the topmost checkbox to select all the listings that you have imported into the bulk edit tool. That's really important. Then once all of them are selected, you click the edit fields button and then click on price, quantity, best offer.
If you've never used the bulk edit tool, this pop-up shows all the bulk editable fields for any listing, not just that one thing, the price, quantity, and best offer.
That's true. You can bulk edit almost everything in a group of listings, title, description, business policies if you have them. You can add or remove to your description. It's really an extensive list. So select price, quantity, best offer, and the resulting pop-up window, and then click the drop-down menu for best offer. And then depending on what you want to accomplish, you can select remove from all or add to all.
What's the difference?
You would select remove from all if your goal was to just get rid of best offer from all the listings. But if you are like Todd and just want to remove any minimum amounts, you would select add to all.
Oh, that doesn't make sense when I think about it because it's remove and add. But go ahead.
We'll remove the add, like you're adding a subtraction, right?
Right.
If you select add to all, that will expand the option a little bit further to show the drop-down boxes for auto accept price and auto decline price.
Oh, yeah, there they are.
And then for Todd, he would select auto decline price, which is also a minimum price accepted. And in that drop-down box to the right, he would select the option for change, and then he would enter zero. This change will remove any minimum amounts for his current best offer.
Right. So if there's any of those edited listings in that bulk batch, if they have any minimum auto decline, a minimum, once he zeros that out, it just disappears.
Yes.
Yeah. I had no idea this was possible. So once you've made your selections and changes, the next step?
Then the next step, we have to apply the change. So you would click save all and then click submit changes. So you have to kind of do it twice. Depending on what you selected, all of those imported listings will have their best offers changed.
Well, that was actually pretty easy.
It's not too bad, but I need to say there are some things to keep in mind.
And what would those be?
Well, if any of the offers on your listings are currently in play, that is, somebody has submitted an offer that you haven't declined or responded to, or if you have recently sent out an offer or offers, the offers on those listings will not be impacted by the bulk editing tool should you opt to remove all offers from your listings.
Ah, so even if I chose to edit out all offers for all active listings, any offers that are in play aren't going to be removed by that action.
Exactly. Those buyers who have already submitted offers where the window hasn't closed can still access and accept or counter offer the offer.
And any listings where the seller has sent offers, those too are still accessible by the buyers to whom the seller sent the offer.
That's also correct. The bulk edit tool can be extremely useful for situations where a seller needs to make changes to a lot of listings.
I have to admit, I've used it in the past, but not so much to bulk edit a part of many listings, though.
No? Then what for?
I used to do this thing where I would schedule my listings to go live, and then I would, when they were all ready, I would go in and change them from scheduled listings by choosing the start time and then saying start now. And I used to do that a lot, but now that I use my iPhone for doing the photos and adding them to the image, I just save them as drafts instead of the scheduled listing option.
That sounds a lot easier.
Yeah, it is. Because the bulk edit feature, it's a great tool and it does a wonderful job. But in this particular case where I'm trying to accomplish just saving the listings, it made a lot more sense to save them as drafts because then they're easily accessible when I'm using the iPhone and I want to add photos to them.
Right. And you can quickly decide which ones you want to push live instead of having to move all of them into the bulk edit tool before you can even then say which ones to go.
It's, right.
It's nice.
Interestingly enough, when you have all your drafts ready to go, you can actually use the bulk edit to list them all at once. It's even quicker. You don't really have to do anything. You don't have to do start time or edit any field. You just select them all, choose bulk edit, and then just select them all again, and then just choose submit. And they all go live.
Oh, you're so clever.
Not as clever as you. Clever by half, perhaps. But. Tyler, thanks for shedding some light on the question for Todd. And Todd, I trust this answers your question. If not, let us know. podcast@ebay.com or 888-723-4630. And you did send us your address, and a mug is on its way to you, Todd. Tyler, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you next week.
Absolutely.
Tyler Langston works in both our community forums and for the Global Customer Support Organization, and you can talk to him directly every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific during an hour-long weekly chat with eBay staff discussion.
You got questions?
We have answers. And Brian, this is a first this week on the podcast.
A first?
For You Got
After
Questions.
After 186 episodes?
Yep, it's a first because this week, we have three voice line questions, and we have one live call.
Wow.
So no emails.
Exciting.
I know. And in the interest of getting right into it, let's listen to our first voice line call.
Hi, my name is Fred. My eBay name is Cooperman, and I need my activity from all of last year for my taxes. And I forget how to do that. I'm such a maze going through all the choices here. I wonder if anyone could help me cut to the chase. Thank you.
Well, okay, Fred, thank you so much for calling. Brian, were you here when we did the episode?
I think so. Yeah.
Fred, if you want to listen to episode 181, we did the whole episode on transaction reports. But can you lead him through the steps to getting the transaction report?
Yeah. Start off by going to Seller Hub Payments and then Reports on the left-hand navigation. And then from there, you'll see Reports, go to Statements, and then Invoices. You may want to view all three types, but a transaction report will have all the information you may need for filling in a Schedule C or profit and loss statement.
And when you download it, it's a spreadsheet. You can select a time window. So I would say, Fred, you want to get all of last year. You'd want to start on January 1st and end on December 31st of 2021. It'll be a big spreadsheet, but you can go through, you can see all the columns. If you know how to manipulate data in a spreadsheet, you can, at the bottom of each of the columns, auto-sum them so you can get a grand total for each one. And then all of that information will go somewhere on your profit and loss statement. I just did this last weekend for my taxes, and it's so much easier now that eBay provides this report.
He came on to manage payment partway through the year.
Yeah.
He may also need to look back at PayPal as well to pull some data.
Right. If you weren't on managed payments, to Brian's point, Fred, for the entire year of 2021, you're going to have to go to PayPal and get that bit of information. I was on all of last year, so it was cool for me. But the previous year, 2020, I came on halfway through, and I had to download PayPal reports and eBay reports and then do a lot of reconciliation. So if you were on managed payments for the year, great.
It's not easy.
Wasn't everyone on by 2020?
There were a couple categories that were exceptions. So I'm just, that's the only reason I throw it out there.
Well, it's a good point.
Everyone was on by September of last year, but there were a couple categories that were outside.
Fred, I hope that answers your question. Let's go to our next call.
Hi, I had a couple of questions, and one of them is related to the episode from last week. It was mentioned that not all messages need to be replied to, and you can just ignore some of them. But I was kind of always under the impression, as a best practice, to at least mark an irrelevant message, that maybe one that doesn't even need a response, as answered. Otherwise, it'll hurt your store in the search results. So if you could clarify that, maybe definitively say whether you need to take any action at all. Otherwise, the message will kind of count as a mark against your account. So in the manage orders screen, I was wondering if there's a way to sort the drop-down menu, because I usually need to search by item title. But the first option is always search by your username. So I always have to end up clicking that and choosing title for every past order I need to look up. If you have some answers for that, that'd be great. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, thank you, anonymous caller, because you didn't leave your name, so we don't know who you are. But we're happy that you sent the question. I suspect that anonymous caller may have actually read an urban myth somewhere about my messages and search ranking for stores.
Yes. Wherever you found that, maybe you could go back to whoever the original source was and tell them, boy, is that not correct.
Yeah. Because my messages is not tied to search ranking at all, in no way. And again, I'm not sure where you might have heard that, but it is truly an urban eBay myth.
The only thing that I can think of is if he's referring to like claims and things like that, that the buyer has actively done. Mm-hmm. If a seller doesn't actually take care of those things and their status can slip from, say, top rated to below standard, there could be an impact. But that's very, very different than not responding to an email.
And of course, he's right about best practices, but not because of any risk to you as a seller. You should always respond to genuine customer questions and inquiries. But if a customer is crossing the line and maybe being a pest or maybe being inappropriate, you can choose as a seller without any consequences from eBay, including your search ranking, to just ignore any and all messages at your discretion. That's sometimes the only way to deal with it. But you don't have to respond to every single message you get. It's okay. Your search ranking will not be impacted at all.
Hopefully that's clear.
Yeah. What about drop-down menus? That was an interesting question.
Drop-down menus are not customizable. That is, you cannot change the order in which they are listed.
Yeah. Anonymous caller, I think that the world would be a better place if we could, as users, customize the entire experience online, including everything about an eBay page. But that's just not possible today.
But we have gotten pretty good at anything that shows in table form, or not anything, but many of the items will either be sortable or you can move or to hide and things, but not everything.
I think that's a step in the right direction. But I know that because of the way they're programmed, drop-down menus normally across the internet, just not on eBay, are not actually customizable in the way that you can change the sort order.
Right.
But you know what? Just because that's not possible doesn't mean that an anonymous caller doesn't make a good point. Maybe it should be. I don't know.
Or we should look at what's the most frequently used ones and go back and and maybe we already do. I don't know. Of course, if it's defaulted to that, that might bias the results.
Yeah. If you change the sort order and it changes for everyone, there are some people who are going to say, I want it the other way, and you've changed it back. That's why the idea of making something like that customizable by every seller would be ideal. That would be a great solution.
Or we could just randomize it, and that would really drive sellers crazy.
Change it every time.
Yeah, every time. It's order. I know that in surveys, they do that with dropdowns.
Yeah,
so that each person gets a different order, so you're not biasing the results. But from a user experience standpoint, you would expect the site to work the same each time you went back.
Yeah, that would be an example of constant annoying change for change's sake or annoyance sake. Let's listen to our third voice call.
Hello, Griff, Brian, and Rebecca. This is Greg. I always look forward to the Tuesday morning drive to work when I can listen to the Fountains of eBay Wisdom. I have two questions. The first concerns what the buyer sees as shipping costs to them if I offer more than one shipping option. I'm on the West Coast and have found that items in the 2 to 5 pound range will be a lower cost to ship via USPS, if not going too far, but are lower cost via UPS if going a long distance. So when a buyer is perusing items and sorts them lowest cost plus shipping, do they see the lowest shipping cost if there is more than one option or just the first shipping option? And then the second question concerns the new listing format on the desktop. I do like it, but I was wondering what happened to the shipping calculator in the old format. It allowed me to just click on the best shipping option once I had entered the package size and details, and calculator popped up and gave me the choices. But now I have to open a new window with the shipping calculator and re-enter the package details as well as my zip code. I really do miss that quick way to determine the best shipping option. And also, it'd be nice to have that add shipping service that appears near the bottom of the window if it was near the first shipping option instead, so I don't have to scroll down. Thanks for all your help. I already have a mug, so you don't need to send one. My username is GBBEIL.
Well, Greg, that was interesting questions.
Yes.
And your first question is a good one. I think we dealt with this years ago. I haven't really had this question come up recently. But in situations, Greg, where sellers providing, like yourself, two or more shipping options, the least expensive option will always show as the first option for a buyer.
Correct.
So if you offer, for example, free shipping and one or more paid options, the buyer will always see free shipping. If you offer two or more paid options, no free shipping, the option that's the least expensive will display first for that buyer regardless of their location. So if they're on the East Coast and you have all of the options and the options may be different for someone on the West Coast buyer and the East Coast buyer are going to see whatever the cheapest one is for them.
Right.
Do you recall the shipping calculator being part of the old listing form? Am I missing something here or was that the simple form?
Maybe it was a simple form. I don't remember seeing it anytime recently, the last couple of years as part of the listing flow.
I know that I was on the classic flow for a long time. There was no shipping calculator. What you had were your ability to select business policies, which I've had for years.
And enter the dimensions and all of that.
Right.
You could do all of those things from the listing flow.
Yeah. If you're charging flat rate or free shipping, you're going to want to know what the shipping is going to cost so you can add that into either the cost of shipping or the cost into the item. But I'm pretty sure that most sellers are using the shipping calculator that exists behind the scenes.
I wonder if he's referencing like calculated shipping.
He said there was a link to the shipping calculator. That page still exists. There's still a page. It's called the eBay shipping calculator. He says there was a link, and I don't recall there being a link to that.
Maybe he could take a screenshot and send it.
Well, if he can't see it anymore, he can't see it.
Oh, that's true. Exactly. That's right. Hence the question.
Yeah. So that is so, Greg, that screen still exists. As you notice, it's on a different page. It's not really that inconvenient. You can open up a different browser tab and keep that open there and then just go back and forth. I would recommend doing that. I don't foresee that we're going to add a link to the shipping calculator to the new streamlined selling form. So yeah, if you're going to need to access that calculator for any reason, I'd bookmark it and open it in a different tab. Hopefully that'll make sense. And then he was talking about one of the shipping service that appears near the bottom of the window. And I'm not quite sure what he means.
I think this is the new listing flow.
Oh, okay.
I've seen some sellers in the community have similar comments. Maybe we get a clarification from that team.
So, Greg, we wanted to answer your question, but then we're realizing we don't quite understand it.
And this past week, the new listing flow increased, the number of sellers who were getting it. And so I do believe that it has to do with that. But okay. I want to take this one back and confirm.
Oh, great. Okay. All right. So now the next question we have is the live call-in.
Hello there.
Hey, Greg. Welcome to the eBay for Business podcast.
Well, I'm so thrilled to be here, Griff and Brian. I'm happier than a bird with a French fry to be talking to both of you.
A bird with a French fry.
A seagull taking them right off the table from you. Exactly. So, Greg, what did you want to talk about?
My question is a little convoluted. I'm going to try to break it into about three steps. I think that will help.
Sure.
Being a top-rated seller, although honestly, guys, I've always been fonder of the now retired power seller title. That it'll always be power seller to me. But I sell everything with same day handling time, and I demand of myself 100% performance ratings across the board. And I try to stay on top of things because I always want to fulfill anything that I promise. And I promise same day handling. Now I ship a lot of first class packages. So I use the postal service a lot. And I used to take my shipments to the post office window and have the clerk scan each package or a scan sheet if I were to happen to be able to do that. Oh, listen, Griff, after your most recent podcast where you dropped that tip about printing individual labels throughout the day and still being able to print an end of afternoon scan sheet, that is the tip of the year. And I'll always now have just a scan sheet. I sure appreciate you learning about that or telling us about that.
Well, let's give credit where it's due because actually that's Tyler. So,
yeah.
Thank you, Tyler. So this isn't necessarily the most fun thing to do, stand in long lines and get my sheet scanned or my packages scanned. Yeah. And as you know, though, however, getting those daily scans will ensure on our end that everything was shipped on time and we have a record. You know, in case a buyer has a question about a late shipment for some reason, we can show, well, we did what we promised. Here, the post office will confirm that. So it's probably somewhere else along the line to try to find out what the problem is. But more than a year ago now, the post offices began rolling out these new postal kiosk machines. And you could buy postage and do stuff. But they added a feature that I just thought was better than sliced bread for eBayers. And that was, we could scan each package or use a scan sheet ourselves at this little kiosk in the lobby, get a receipt that literally says each package was accepted at the post office on the time and date that we did our own scanning. And this means we could then take all of our packages, bypass the long lines, scan our daily eBay shipments ourselves or scan sheet without waiting for a clerk, and then take the package to their designated area in the post office where ready-to-ship packages wait for a clerk to send them on their journey.
Yes, that sounds great.
It does sound great. And it has been great until I started second-guessing myself, about a week ago. And I began to worry about this. My dilemma is this. I've manually scanned, as I said, all my packages for a year, 13 months now, and there's been really no problem. I've had 3 late scans for some reason, but that could just been, I don't know why. And it was during the holiday big rush, anything can happen, you know.
Sure.
But Griff, what are the odds that a package I scanned arrives at the buyer late? It's possible, and it hasn't, but it's possible. And that might just happen to be the one package that day that the postal clerk didn't scan into the system when he finally took everybody's packages, you know, and put them in the right bins. If a buyer then gets that one late where they really didn't check it in properly because they're just so busy sometimes, I have a piece of paper that says I got, and it literally says acceptance on my scan, but the postal tracking system does not show it was actually received by an employee. And it will show up somewhere on its way to the buyer, but it won't prove I shipped when I promised. And during my manual scan at the kiosk machine actually has a warning, guys, that says, this package, quote, must be processed by USPS in order to receive, get this, a true acceptance scan. So I got really, I don't know why I've never seen it, but I just saw it. And I got really frightened. Well, you know, I got worried because I might be wasting my time. So here's my bottom line question. If I'm diligent with my own scans as I drop off my daily packages, is eBay honoring that somehow, or does eBay have the ability to tell the difference between what I've done, which isn't absolute proof, and what a postal clerk has done whenever they ring it into the system? Am I covered in any way, or do I need to go back to waiting in line?
Well, that's a good question, Greg. And, you know, we had a little prelim, so I knew it was about the kiosk. Last night, I was at home and I did a little research and I found a YouTube video that someone had posted about using these new kiosks in some USPS center. And sure enough, I got a screenshot from this video that shows what it says as a disclaimer. And let me read it. It says, articles must be placed in the bin and processed by USPS in order to receive a true acceptance scan. This scan does not constitute a service or delivery guarantee, which floored me because I'm thinking, well, why bother? My advice would be this. You said you had three last year and they were around the holiday rush. How many items do you sell a year, roughly?
Hundreds and hundreds, probably 1,500, 1,800 packages last year.
Three out of 1,500, 13 months. To me, it's working for you and it saves you time. Boy, is that a nice trade-off.
It sure is, I wouldn't worry about it. I'd say that you're doing just fine.
And to get to your specific question around, like, do we have your back on the three? In many ways, and I know I've said this to lots of sellers, and sellers don't like it when I say it to them, I know that your goal is 100%. But remember, we don't expect you to be perfect. And so we have tolerances and on how many items can be late. And you are so, three out of 1,500. That's assuming the buyer even complains about it being late.
Yeah.
If it gets a scan when it got delivered, you're covered. Or if it got a scan anywhere along the line, you're covered. So I would not worry. If it's saving you time, it seems to be a more efficient use of your time and ability to ship, I would continue to use it.
Or I would also consider if you really want peace of mind, if you're selling that many items, I'm assuming you sell pretty much some items every day, arrange for a postal pickup. If you're working from home and you don't need to have a specific time that they come by, they're free. You can set it up that they come on a regular basis and you don't pay for that. If you're willing to have them come anytime during the business day, they pick up and they scan. And if you're using a scan sheet for all of those pickups, that is an acceptance scan. But this kiosk thing makes me laugh because I'm never going to use it. I know we just got through giving him that advice, but I don't trust that damn kiosk now.
But he has 13. But he has, wait, but Greg, you have 13 months of experience using the kiosk and it's worked.
I suppose, so, yeah. But that disclaimer just drives me nuts.
That's great data, though, that says, hey, this is working as intended, even though I do agree. That disclaimer, you want to freak out eBay sellers? Perfectly written to do that.
So this is an eBay seller or an online seller that posted this YouTube video. He shows this quick shot of this screen, but he doesn't talk about it at all. He just rushed right through that part.
He was shaking as he was probably looking at it.
Hey, Greg, I'm curious. What is it that you sell?
I go through phases. I've sold two giant rare book collections that took a couple or 3 years each collection over the years. I've been selling my whole adult life, I would like to say, but I'm about the same age as you, Griff, so I can't honestly say that. But I've been on eBay for 23 years.
You're 39 and, years old? You sound so young.
Well, I was a child prodigy, you know. And then I sell a lot of replens and I find items that I can resell. But lately I've been selling a lot of for several years, just a mixed bag because we moved back into town about 5 years ago. We take care of my mother. She's got dementia. She's elderly. And it's a big problem. We had to come back and take care of her. And so brought all the inventory here. But I now live four houses from where I grew up. And the amazing thing that's happened about eBay is a lot of the neighbors around here were parents of kids I grew up with 45 years ago. And they are now 85, 90, still doing well. But they all heard I sell on eBay and I can help. And they're all trying to downsize their homes right now. And so we've got these five elderly couples that have these amazing things, you know, back when things were quality made and they kind of fight each other to get me to sell their things first. You know, they'll have a badge.
You have a neighborhood of inventory that you can take on consignment.
You know, I break my arm tripping over my death pile in order to go out every weekend to go to garage sales and get some stuff. But the problem is I won't need to buy anything to resell for it. I don't know how long, 3 years, 2 years. I don't know. It just keeps coming. And I think your listeners should tap into that.
Agreed. Yeah. And we do have some listeners who have taken advantage of that. And you don't have to disclose what you charge, but I do hope you charge and you're not just giving away that service for free, because the amount of time it takes to list. I've seen sellers charge everywhere from 20 to 50% for consignment items.
And they're happy to pay it, the consigners,
Oh, they are. But when you get people who have known you your whole life, they say, you know, oh, Greg, whatever you need to do, don't worry. You charge what you need to. And of course, I want to be honest with them too. So I generally charge around 25-30%. If something's extremely difficult, I'll charge a little more. But if they've got like 10 books in a series, but I sell them all separately and I'm just changing one or two words, for that, I might drop it down to 25 or 22% because I can list nine more almost as easily as the first one. Right. So it's give and take. I don't think you could always do that with the consignment business, but with these friends, it just works beautifully.
It sounds like you've got a really good business model there.
I do. I really do.
Have you had challenges running a business?
Well, a couple of things. When I am really busy and working head down and just have 1,000 things to do, my blood pressure drops. I'm calm. I feel great. I'm really excited. A man was created to work, and I'm really excited to have a job. I left my primary job, which was writing. I was an author for about 25 years, wrote about 150 books, and I don't want to write another book. I'm just, you know, tired of it. And so I've really been pushing our eBay business. And as far as mental challenges or my drive, I'm excited to work hard in eBay. eBay is such a dream business and in a lot of ways for everybody. I don't think about it too much, but I was born with the minor annoyance of having a grand total of 3 pretty deformed fingers and only one leg. And yet eBay is so tremendous, even for me, because I type up all the thousands of listings I've offered over the years. I wrap almost all the packages. Although my wife will help on the busier days. I take most of the packages to the post office, FedEx, UPS, each and every day. I do virtually all the sourcing when I go out to find items. My physical differences have no bearing on running a successful eBay business because of the nature. It's just a wonderful, do what you can, when you can, when you feel like it, physically home business. But I tell you, having taken care of an elderly mom with dementia is far more challenging than having 3 fingers and a leg when it comes to my eBay business. That's nothing. And if people are even bedridden, I think if they have a neighbor they trust, or maybe a young neighbor that they're close to, that person can go out and go to garage sales and take pictures of things and send them to them, and they can be in bed looking at a laptop and saying, yes, that looks great. No, you can source from your own bed if you need to. There's just no excuse these days to make eBay work somehow. There's always a way. And I love eBay so much because of that.
Well, Greg, that's a very inspiring story. Thank you for sharing it. The idea of working from bed really appeals to me, but I'm still physically able to get around, so I think it would be unfair. But
Greg, how long again have you been selling on eBay? You said 20
for 23 years.
He's an old timer.
He's an old timer, but it, very, very inspiring that, you know, to be able to overcome what you've overcome, you know, both as an author and selling on eBay.
We didn't ask you. We need to tell people, unless you don't want to give it out. What's your user ID?
I've got 3. I saved 2 of them for my consignment people.
Yeah.
And there are 2 sets of neighbors that don't want people to know that I sell for them. I love these people, but, you know, you kind of have to put up with the good and the bad. But my personal eBay account, that I've got, I don't know, 9,000, 100% positive feedbacks. Not to brag, I just want to say I've done a lot in my personal account.
Sure, yeah.
I do a lot of training of eBay, and so it is called Bid Mentor, all one word, BIDMENTOR. Bid Mentor is my personal. Still, I sell lots out of that account, really every day.
Well, we're going to put a link to that account, if you don't mind, in our transcript so people can check out your listings.
Well, thanks. That would be great.
Greg, we want to keep in touch with you and bring you back on and talk more about business, if you're okay with that.
I would be thrilled.
Well, Greg, thank you so much. This has been, I hope it inspires people to call us, because this is what this is the best call we've had in a long time.
It is. And it's wonderful also not just getting the voice call, but actually doing it live as well.
Yeah. Well, Greg, continue to success to you. And you've got me thinking about something about that consignment business. I wish we'd revisit it. Remember, we used to have trading assistants? I think there's an opportunity here. There's a lot of people my age. I'm not that old, in case you're worried.
39.
Yeah, 39. You know, I've got a house full of stuff that I just don't think I can face. Consigners could come in and take it all for me and sell it, and I'd give them half. What the hell? Yeah. I don't care, right? So there may be a good business model there. But we want to keep in touch and find out how that works out for you. And we'll check in a few months, 6 months, and have you back on.
I would love it. You all have a great day.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Sure.
I went on our site and looked up Greg Perry, and there's like everything from QBasics and to managing rental properties from Greg Perry's.
I wonder if that's him. I think there's any profession that you can get a little tired of after a while. So it sounds like he was doing that successfully for a long time and then decided, hey, I want to sell on eBay, which is endlessly fascinating. I don't know of anyone who ever gets sick of selling on eBay. They may get frustrated. They may get confounded sometimes, but I don't know anyone who says, so tired of selling on eBay. Maybe there are.
There are a couple. I know a couple.
A couple.
But what an inspiring story, and what a great approach to life. I look at myself and think, okay, how much more should I be doing? You know, I'm like you. Can I list from my bed? not possible.
If you have a story that you want to share with us, you should share with us, because we love calls. Calls are a lot of fun. They're a lot more fun than emails, don't you think, Brian?
I agree. And if you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business, call us on 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of the day or any day of the week. You can leave a comment or question on the voice line. And that's what Greg did. And we found him so interesting. We got him on the air. And we can do that for you, too.
And if you're not a call-on-the-phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com. But one qualifier there, you can tell the passion in Griff's voice when he gets the calls.
Yes,
so,
yes, I love calls. I love them.
You can email if you like, but just know the passion is with the calls.
The way to my heart is through the phone. So keep that in mind. Don't forget your daily podcast to-do list.
Check the announcement board, especially next week, for up-to-date seller news.
That's right. There's an update coming. Go visit the eBay community pages, especially our new Discuss This podcast forum, where we post a new blog post on that forum every week where you can talk about what we're talking about on the podcast. And I stop in, look for posts, and if there's any questions, I try to answer them.
And check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode.
Yeah, and on the next episode, well, we're overdue for a best of episode. So I've got one already in the can, some choice nuggets from past interviews to share with you. So tune in next week to hear those.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Tyler Langston from our global customer support team, and eBay seller Greg.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.